Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
Hey, I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thanks for tuning in today. You know, the storms are still with us, and we don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the summer, but we know that people are out there mobilizing, but it's not a week later. So let's talk about where are we now and what can people still do? What do people need? What is the best approach so that people can be helped where they need the help and not where we think they need the help? I'm Judy Redlich. And my guest today on Encounter is co-founder of Together St. Louis, Pastor Marco Van Ralton. Pastor Marco, you are not new to Encounter, and you always bring some great stuff to our listeners. So welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Together St. Louis has been a part of helping boots on the ground in the greater St. Louis area. Can you tell us when this all started and a little bit about Together St. Louis, but then how you jumped in when the storms came?
Yeah, Together STL, we are a network. We're a connecting point between the faith community, those that know and love Christ in St. Louis. I tell people I wake up every day wondering what a united church could do to bless our city. And so we convene pastor collaboratives throughout the metro area. And we're looking at starting more, and also we call them focus teams. These are experts in specific areas like housing, immigration, violence response, prayer, and the like, that we convene with the same question, what can we do together that we can't do alone, and how can we make an impact? So we currently have about 300 to 400 churches and organizations that are actively involved in some part of our network. And, you know, it's Friday night. I'm watching a movie with my wife. I'm relaxing. The week's over, I thought. I didn't know it was starting.
You mean the May 16th Friday night? Yep.
May 16th Friday night, the evening of the tornadoes. They went over our home. I got, you know, big hail in my yard. I live in the St. Louis County. And didn't think much of it, honestly. I thought, okay, it's another storm. That there might be some hail damage here and there. Looked at my phone around 9 o'clock, and I'm like, oh, wow, 5 dead, you know, the story's coming in, like, this is major. And so I thought, if we're a network, and we're bringing churches together, if we're not responding, if we don't make sense as an organization in a time like this, we really don't have a reason to be here. So I went to my office and just got on the phone, calling people that I know in the city and trust, different churches, different ethnicities, different ministries, and say, what can we do to help? I heard about the shelters that were being set up, churches that were literally seeing people walk in the doors right there, right then, needing water and food and sandwiches and basic supplies. Two organizational directors, you know, it was Friday night. I'm like, can people come tomorrow? Can they bring chainsaws? Can they help? What can we do? And so it started at 9, and it was early Saturday morning, in the wee hours of the morning, that I sent the first email out with just a list of specific ways to either help shelters, to help emergency crews, or to donate items, and then specifically to faith-based organizations who would include gospel sharing and gospel compassion in their efforts. And not knowing quite what to expect, I went to bed around 2 a.m. By 6 a.m., my phone is blowing up. I got so many church leaders responding and thanking me. One particular story that really blessed me is a local pastor of quite a large congregation, fairly close to the affected area, who said, man, I just really felt I wanted to do something on Sunday. I wanted to inspire my congregation to reach out, didn't know what to do, and saw your email, and now I know. And so that church alone sent at least 100 volunteers out throughout the community to specific sites where already existing ministries were present to guide and direct crews. So that was my work for the next week, 12, 15-hour days, just connecting, taking phone calls from churches and pastors, using our website, togethersdl.com, as a place to post. So we're basically a conduit. I'm not leading a chainsaw crew myself, but I tell people where to go.
Right.
And I try to accelerate what's happening and connect. And one of the things we're hearing, that's folks are just saying, hey, this is maybe one of the first times for some of them to just really experience the love of God from a complete stranger. And seeing the church turn out that first weekend, right after the tornado, in massive numbers. Some sites had too many volunteers. It was just beautiful. So now we're looking at the ongoing part, but that's kind of how it started, and it kind of snowballed. And I sent that email out. I'm like, is anyone going to read this? Does it even matter? Am I helpful? You know, you don't know.
Yeah, and we all read it. I got it, and I'm going, boy, Pastor Marco's on it again. And I love the steps, like, what are we going to do? Here's where we are. This is what we need. This is how you can help. And as you've been sending those out on an ongoing basis, I love it how you put the websites of organizations that are doing things, what they need, how people can help not only with funding, but with supplies and with volunteers, if they need volunteers, so that people do the right thing and they just don't go out on their own and just take out water and sandwiches. When there's a million water and sandwiches out there and people might need rakes, they might need someone to cut down their trees or whatever. So I love the plethora of ideas you are giving in those update emails. So don't stop those, Pastor Marco.
Thank you. We'll keep them coming.
So let's talk about ongoing. Now it's about several weeks after the storm. What do we do from here so the momentum stays and people really get the help they need?
That's a great question, Judy. My fellow countrywoman, I'm from Holland, named Corrie ten Boom, survivor of concentration camp Germany. She would say, God doesn't have problems. He only has plans.
Hmm.
In other words, it may look dire, but in God's kingdom, he has a purpose. He wants to do something. So what we are specifically looking at is doing the long-term relational approach. Could this be a season where the city, St. Louis, specifically those areas that were hit the hardest by the storm, and the county or churches in the city, black and white, different denominations, different races, different church budgets, different ways to worship, is there a way that we could come together by specifically seeing congregations engage with one family or one hope? One house at a time. And we're looking at a reciprocal relationship where you would both receive and bless each other. And if you go on our website, togethersdl.com, there'll be a reference for you to be able to engage, to hear the latest of where we're at in this process. But it was actually less than a week into the situation that we looked at each other as not-for-profit leaders in the area and said, hey, we have to think long-term. Chainsaw crews, cleaning up streets, first need help is massively important, needs to be done, but we need to look at, you know, how do we follow up? And again, could this be a bridge builder? Could this be a way that we would come together in the long run? And things like relationship and trust and listening to each other and getting the input of local leaders and pastors in the affected areas, letting them lead the charge, has been a key from the start. I remember several African-American pastors, their churches, and I'm like, how can I help you do what you already do? How can I amplify your efforts? And people would show up and give them what they actually asked for. And it was so much helpful, mm-hmm. more helpful than if you just showed up and think your own thing. So we want to be sensitive to the needs. We want to build long-term relationships. So if churches want to be involved, I would say go to our website, get the latest information, and sign up. Get in and say, hey, we'd like to let us know as an organization that you as a church would like to really invest in long-term solutions. And we're looking at bite-sized pieces because we can't, none of us can fix the whole city.
Right. we wish we could, don't we?
I wish we could. That's what we found the most effective in getting help and seeing the faith community engaged in other places I've served in as well is take it down to bite-sized pieces where you can, as a church, you can actually choose what size of involvement, how much funds are available, what kind of skills do you have in your church that could help put a roof back on a house or, you know, help in ways that people need assistance. And so, yeah, take a look at that, and let's look at us loving one another on a long-term basis. And we're talking not just 1 or 2 weeks, but 3 months, 6 months, a year to a year maybe in that arena.
And it might be jobs. You know, there's a lot of people that live in that area, Pastor Marco, that work, and they're gone all day working, and then they have to come home and deal with the tarp that's on their roof because they don't have a roof left. And they have to deal with, how do you replace your clothes or your furniture or your appliances because the water ruined them? All those things that so many people have to deal with besides their jobs. And what about insurance? How does insurance play a part in this whole thing? How much do people get? Do they get any insurance? FEMA, all of those questions.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, Judy. And I think showing up is so significant. You may wonder, you know, what can I do? I just came from a funeral and we're also responding to the victims of violence. So as a 6'3" white, I'm about as white as they come. I'm in a church service that most people don't look like me.
Yeah.
But we show up together. And I didn't say much, but what I said was, hey, we're here to show love on behalf of a group of ministers from all different colors and ethnicities. There's something beautiful about showing up. If your house is falling apart, if your roof is gone, and I've personally experienced this in other places I've lived, this tragedy where you were without power for a week, it's just devastating. Everything changes. It's very stressful. If somebody, just by showing up, you say, hey, you're not alone. Here we are. How can we help? That's first step, as simple as it is major. And then maybe secondly, I've found, and you know this too, and I think anyone that has done an overseas missions trip or an outreach anywhere with anyone, the biggest beneficiary of any ministry and missions, it's always you. There's something about showing the love of God. People go, oh, that was incredible. Because we were created to love. We were created not to make the universe about us and our comforts and our beautiful life. We were created for His glory primarily. And His commandment to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you love, there is a meaning and a value and a purpose that is extended to your life, a depth of meaning and existence that is invaluable. And as you love people that maybe live in different places of this world or of this city, it enlarges your horizon. It gives new opportunities. I would challenge the church to make this an opportunity to build bridges, to invest, to come together, to love each other, and also be loved by those that you love. Let them minister to you. The pastors, let them share in your congregation. What is it like? What did you learn? What did God do? You'll be amazed at the divine stories that you'll meet in those that you will minister to.
That's absolutely true, and revival could strike. Pastor Marco Van Rolten has been my guest. He is co-founder Together St. Louis, the website togetherstl.com. Go there. See how you can help. See how your church can get involved. Pastor Marco, thanks so much today for being my guest on Encounter.
Thank you for the opportunity, Judy.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn.
And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlich's website, email her at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.